Fred Film Radio, il cinema ritrovato, Bologna, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Jay Weisberg, who is a film critic and director of the Giornate del Cinema Muto, the Pordenone Silent Film Festival, and for the second year in a row, my last interview at Il Cinema Ritrovato, so it's a bit of a tradition. Thanks very much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be part of a tradition.
Yes, this is a new tradition, and now next year it's going to have to be the same.
Exactly.
So very, very quickly, first of all, I said I was going to start off by talking about the Pordenone Silent Film Festival. And first of all, do we know what date the next edition is going to be on?
Yes, we're a little bit earlier this year, so it's September 30th to October 7th.
Okay. I must say, first time attending the festival last year, and it was just a life-changing experience for me. I can't get over it. How did it go for you, first year as a director?
I was really pleased. I was very pleased with how everything went. The feedback was tremendous. It was better, I think, than I was expecting, just in terms of people responding exactly the way that I wanted them to respond, people seeing bridges that I had made between different programs, which were more or less subtle and sometimes quite silly, but I tried to bring all of the different themes together in any way that was possible, and people recognized that. So for all of those reasons, I was really very happy. The musicians outdid themselves, and the response was really very strong.
I will never forget Neil Brand playing Keen by Volkov, and the actor, do you know how to
Ivan Mosjukin.
Yes, his playing, his eyebrow movements, it was just something that really, it was just an amazing experience. Do we know anything about this year's edition?
Absolutely. We have a number of themes, as we always do. This year we're doing a section which the curators have called the Swedish Challenge. And the idea is that when Moritz Stiller and Victor Sjöström began making their films in the golden age of Swedish cinema, it inspired a number of other directors in Scandinavia. And we don't tend to talk about those other directors, but they made wonderful films. So we're starting a two-year series, seven films this year, six next, from all of the Scandinavian countries, so Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Norway, and 1919 to 1924. What's also exciting is that Scandinavia House, which is a cultural institution in New York on Park Avenue, they will be doing Pordenone in Rome. Pordenone in New York. Oh, cool. And so the Scandinavian films will go there as well towards the end of October. Wow. So right after the Giornate, I'm very excited about that. The idea of furthering these films and giving them more exposure is really great.
Absolutely.
So we're doing that. We're also continuing. We've been doing for the last 2 years the origins of the Western. So how was the concept of the West codified on cinema? And this year we're doing the origins of the European Western.
Oh.
Everybody thinks spaghetti Western started sort of with Sergio Leone, but actually they started in the teens, probably even earlier. So we've got Westerns from Italy, France, and there's an English film, there's a Danish film, so great fun, really. They're all shorts, so from, I think, if I remember correctly, about 1910, 1911 to 1913. And
I think so Sergio Leone's dad made a Western called La Vampa.
He did, but that was later.
Oh, it was later.
Yeah,
so
that was. It was still, I think that was still silent, but it was. But we're really starting. We're only, really looking only at films before the First World War.
Oh,
so to get the whole, to try to explore how it was and when it was that our understanding of cowboys and Indians and cowgirls and all of these sorts of ethical themes that you see in Westerns, when were those really beginning to be seen on screen?
Excellent.
So that's the idea of that program. It's also the 70th anniversary of the Cinematheque in Milan, and we're showing. What's nice about that program is they didn't want just to show Italian films, but to give a sense of the breadth of the collection. So we're showing two American films, a German film, as well as Italian films from the whole range of periods, even a documentary, actually. We have, as always, the canon revisited, so films that we all think we know, but maybe we don't know all so well. That includes this year A Fool There Was, the film starring Theda Bara that launched the vamp and made her such a popular figure. But it's time to relook at that film again and how it works and whether why it suddenly caught on so quickly. Also Elita, Queen of Mars, the great expressionist Russian-Soviet science fiction film.
Never seen that one. That's another reason why canon needs to be revisited.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's so many, actually. And that's the other thing, is that we think that we know the canon, and then either we haven't... as we all know, our list of films we're embarrassed we haven't seen is very long, just as our list of novels that we haven't read is very long, and all of that. Of course. And they're usually lists that you don't ever want to share because you're too embarrassed to tell anybody. Well, this is the opportunity to kind of write that.
I kind of ruined that by saying
that. No, please. I believe me, there are plenty I could say as well. So there's that. Of course, restorations and rediscoveries, quite a wide range of films from all over, from the 1915 Der Golem to 1924 Universal comedy starring Reginald Denny. So trying to really get a sense of the breadth of the era. Mikhail Kaufman, the great Soviet cameraman, a rediscovery of one of his films with a new score that the Ukrainians are bringing over to Portinone, which is wonderful. Wow. So I'm really excited about that. We open this year with The Crowd, the King Vidor film, full orchestra, Carl Davis score, and we close with the Ernst Lubitsch film, The Student Prince in Old Heidelberg. And what's great is that everybody, these are often titles that we think we know, but neither of those films are available on DVD. And so we think that The Crowd, you know, one of the masterpieces of cinema, let alone silent cinema, must be available, but it's basically available on a kind of bootleg in Spain, and that's it. Student Prince, for various reasons, which I myself don't quite understand, is not available anywhere on DVD. I think it might have been released on video, but I don't remember. So, again, with full orchestra. So, again, it's the idea that we think we know things, but then we don't really.
Absolutely.
And we're talking King Vidor and Ernst Lubitsch, two of the greats. So,
sure.
I'm very excited to be presenting those two. Also, there's a section on the effects of war. We're looking at World War One and how the fighting affected not just the soldiers with things like shell shock and mutilation, but also people at the home front. So starvation, orphans, refugees, happy things.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I particularly wanted to do that series now isn't so much because it's 100 years since the First World War, but also to say this is what's happening in Mosul, it's what's happening in Yemen, it's what's happening in Aleppo, and we have this idea that somehow we've moved on, and we've moved nowhere.
Yeah.
So that's another reason to remind people that 100 years ago is not only not so far away, but actually, yeah, in many ways, far closer than we like to think it is.
And Collegium as well. Is coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. The Collegium is a constant. So 12 people under 30 who don't necessarily want to devote their lives to silent cinema. That's not the idea. But I want to be exposed to it and understand how either to use that in their work or also to have an appreciation that understanding earlier cinema also increases our understanding of cinema today. So again, people from all over the world, and it looks like another great group, so we're very happy about that.
Wonderful. And one more thing, I was so amazed by the music workshops of the of Pordenone. I learned so much about how to read silent movies just by watching musicians talk about it, so that'll also be returning to Pordenone.
Yeah, the master classes are incredible, just as you say. I don't know a better way of understanding cinema in general than listening to the musicians, because their ability to anticipate mood and the rhythm of the films and allied with it with their music is something I just find so extraordinary. And I think that actually my understanding of things like editing has been increased because of my being in the audience and listening to the musicians talking about how they perform.
Yes, because they're open to the public, so anyone can kind of experience it and see it for themselves and understand how to read silent movies. Okay, so we have to move on because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, sorry.
No. But that just goes to show how fantastic the Pordenone Silent Film Festival is. And but first of all, before we move on, how can anyone apply to the Collegium, actually?
The easiest thing to do is just go onto the website and look under the Collegium. By the way, the website is being updated finally to a more more modern and dynamic website, hopefully in the next few weeks. Oh boy, did it need it. Just click on the Collegium link and there'll be the email address of where to send a letter. And it's basically, it's not an official application. It's not anything that's formal. We're looking more for passion than we are for background.
Final question. We're at Il Cinema Ritrovato now, and I just want to ask you, what have you seen? What's your opinion of this festival's program so far, and any titles that people should be really looking at?
I mean, this is such an amazing festival. It's so overwhelming because there's so many things that you want to see at the same time. It's the constant complaint that, do you want to see that 1950s CinemaScope film from Poland that you've never seen before on screen, or the 1917 silent film with live music that you won't have a chance to see again? So it's always, I keep on joking, I hope I didn't say this last year, it's like a Sophie's choice of what do you choose to see and not see. But I've seen some wonderful things. The early Universals, again, are a revelation in terms of their just the baldness of their sexual. It's not even innuendo. It's out. It's so out there. It's so in your face that it's not. Yeah. We have this idea that somehow things were more proper, but they're not at all. They're really not proper at all. And fast-paced and moving, and it's so wonderful to see films that maybe are 60, 70 minutes long that just have everything in them, and then you compare them sometimes to films today, and believe me, it's not that I'm down on contemporary cinema. Obviously, as a critic, that's also my bread and butter, and I love contemporary cinema as well. But there are times you just want that sense of urgency that so often you're seeing in earlier films. So the Universal series is great. William K. Howard as well, the early Fox director, there have been great things in that. 100 years ago, as they always do here, 1917 films, some terrific films from all over, from pre-revolutionary Russia to Italy to the United States. Also, 120 years ago, seeing films from 1897. Earlier today, we saw a program of the Queen Victoria's Jubilee, just films that last only about 30 seconds, but were shot on 68mm. So all of these large formats that are finally now being restored, because before we didn't have the technology to restore films at unusual formats. And now that we do and can digitize them, and the quality is astounding. The sharpness of the images, the beauty of them all is really brings you back in such a palpable way to 1897.
Fantastic. Well, we're completely out of time, but it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and will we be catching up with you at Venice?
Yeah, absolutely, I'll be there.
It's always a pleasure, so great. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.